This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie. And we have pretty much fixed everything in sight this week.
Except me. I'm still broken.
Well, we'll fix that tomorrow.
I'll be just replaced by a newer model.
Yeah, prettier one, too, I hope.
Oh, boy. That wouldn't take much. But anyway, joining us is Mr. Paul Woodruff. It's a confusing thing because it says National Park Service on a shirt. However, he's affiliated with Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which apparently is a national park. They just didn't tell us.
No, but we do have a National Historic Landmark, which is part of our national park.
Okay.
And so as a cultural resource manager at the base, my job is preservation, and I'm the liaison for the base with the National Park Service. Nicholas is my counterpart at the park. And so together we work through issues, preservation, and management of the National Historic Landmark, along with Wright Memorial. And so that's really what my job is. It's preservation, management of historic properties on the base. Our most important one being the flying field, because that's where it all started.
Right.
So
now, part of your job is determining whether an object, a building, or whatever is worth or should be preserved?
Should be listed typically on the National Register of Historic Places. Obviously, the flying field is. Wright Memorial was actually only just put on the register in 2016.
And so that's kind of amazing.
Yeah. So we've got several buildings. We've got more than 250 buildings on the base that are eligible. Not all of them have been nominated. They could be. But we treat them as though they already are. And so we treat them like we treat the flying field. So it's very important. It's, you know, for preservation of our heritage. And that's where all this aviation started.
Do they maintain a public runway there for GA pilots to fly in and visit?
The base has a runway. There is a runway at the museum. Over in Area B. We got two areas: Area A and B. A is where the flying field is. B is where the museum is, National Museum. So they use that to fly things in. We've got our active runway in Area A, but the flying field itself obviously was their flying field, its first airport. We don't typically let people fly into that. We have had events out there. We've had people fly into the active runway, and then we've towed them out to the flying field for exhibition, static displays. Back in the early 2000s, Mark Dusenberry created an exact replica of the 1905 Flyer, and he actually flew it out there several times until he crashed it. So, and after that, the base decided, no, we don't want to have anybody else fly out there and crash.
It doesn't look good.
No. So
kind of a black eye thing.
Yeah, right. Really.
Well, if he built a 1905, then did he actually use a catapult launch and everything?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he brought out his own tower and weight system and his own launch rails, and it was all based, you know, as closely as possible on what the Wright brothers used. The only thing is he didn't use a mule to lift the weights up. He used a tractor. So.
Okay. A little bit of advance
there. Yes. But he did it all the same, and it flew beautifully. He had the same issues the Wright brothers had with oscillations, and that's what ultimately caused him to crash. So.
Isn't that a software problem?
No. only up here.
Yeah, right. Wow. Well, that's the one thing I guess that illustrates is, yes, the Wright brothers flew, but just barely.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But this was the plane that they perfected. This is what we consider the first practical airplane. So they went out to Kitty Hawk in 1903 and showed that they could do it, that they could fly and maintain in a straight line. And then they got back to flying field and were able to do, they created aviation. So everything you needed to get a plane in the air, fly it, the only limitation is fuel, and control it, and then land it. You know, recover the aircraft, maintenance, refueling, hangar. They had everything basically except for, you know, radios and all that.
And flight attendants and bathrooms.
Lost
and
luggage.
Yeah. That came later.
And airline food.
There you go.
I read that, I think it was either 1906 or 1908, they had the big flying expedition in Paris because France was all about aviation.
Mm-hmm.
And all these guys are out there, and they're doing these little short hops. And, of course, the Wright brothers were so secretive that most people didn't believe they had actually flown.
Right.
And they came out, and without saying a whole lot, they just set up their system, and they took off and flew figure eights around the airfield.
Right.
And then landed again, and everybody just stood there with their mouth hanging open.
Right. Yep.
That's kind of wild.
Very good. Yeah. And so the neat thing that I like to tell people is where the, you know, Wright Pat is the birthplace, it's the home, and it's the future of aviation. So,
ooh,
and
future.
It still is, yes.
What's going on there, and that's futuristic?
Air Force Research Lab.
Nice.
Always innovating. Wright Brothers were always innovating. And so there's a good connection with the EAA. They're the first experimenters, right, for us, and successful.
That must be fun.
Yeah.
It must be fun to have someone tell you, you know, here's a piece of paper, do something, and not worry about the money.
Right.
Yeah, there's the trick.
Well, my favorite part of Wright Pat, of course, is the Air Force Museum. You've got my favorite all-time aircraft in there, the XB-70 Valkyrie.
Oh, I love that plane.
That airplane is just gorgeous.
Yes, yeah, and we got the only one.
Yeah.
Well, there were only two built.
Yeah, the one they crashed, and they said, oh, no, let's keep this one.
Yeah. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, when did they start actually putting together the Air Force Museum? I mean, how far back does that go?
Oh, okay. So they started at McCook Field, and they are claiming currently 1920. Basically, it started with the museum started by collecting parts and pieces and aircraft and all and everything that goes with it, so that their engineers could study and learn from it and innovate. So they kept collecting all this stuff. So they eventually established a museum at McCook Field. And then in 1927, when they opened Wright Field, they moved all that stuff over. And it wasn't until 1935 that we had our actual first building built as a museum. It's Building 12 in Area B. And that was the first Air Force Museum.
Wow. First open to the public.
Yeah, actually at that time, yes.
Yeah.
But it was mainly for the same purpose, for engineers to study study the past and to...
Well, innovate. That leads to a question. Did you guys get a lot of captured aircraft after and during World War II
to reverse engineer? Yes. Part of my presentation this afternoon talks about that. I knew the buildings where they stored stuff, and the one thing that people always ask about is the ME-262, mm-hmm. which was the German jet fighter. We had that at the base, multiple versions, and that's also, and as Building 4, Hangar 4, is where it was stored and where it was flown from, and that's the same building where the flight test pilot school began.
So, wow.
They were flying that.
I often wonder if anybody ever looked at, you know, the engineers looked at this thing, and it's supposed to be so advanced, and they're like, it's a piece of crap.
Well, we were working on the jet engine, and so were the British, you know. So, but these guys put it in the sky,
right? They beat us to it.
Yeah.
Although I understand it wasn't very reliable.
Yeah, there was a lot of maintenance issues with it. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, new technology.
They didn't have the metallurgy that we have today.
Right. Yeah.
That was the big thing.
Yeah. So they had issues, obviously, with resources. So,
yeah. Well, thank God.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, we were kind of in process of dismantling their resources at the time.
Yes. Well, and that's part of what I talk about. We actually had a project that's called Project Lusty, top secret, where we went over, and people from Wright Pat actually, Colonel Putt was one of his Putt. He's a general, became a general, but he was the head of Project Lusty, which was Luftwaffe special technology or something like secret technology. That's what they were doing. They went over there and tried to capture everything they could as we, you know, progressed.
Well, they were amazingly advanced.
Yes, yeah.
And
so they would actually take those planes, they'd get in them, and they would fly them back to the coast, put them on ships, and ship them over to Wright Pat. And so we look at them.
Wasn't that involved with the group called Watson's Wizards?
That's
too?
Watson's Wizards, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the book. I haven't gotten around to reading it yet.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something to do tonight.
Definitely.
Yeah.
I'll run right home and get it.
So I consider Dayton a must-see destination.
Yes.
I haven't been there yet. He has. Bugger. Anyway.
Lots to see. And obviously we've got the Armstrong Museum up there, and that's a big thing this year, obviously.
Do you have one of the flying bed things that the Lunar Lander trainers, do any of those survive?
You know, I don't know. I don't have it at Wright Pat. They might have it up there.
Okay, because I'd like to see that thing.
Yeah.
That was quite a conflagration. The video of Armstrong punching out is impressive.
You know, and I guess the gung-ho macho attitude of the test pilot is like, okay, yeah, I'm going to fly that.
Yeah. Right.
Actually, didn't Armstrong say, you know, I think this thing is trying to kill me?
Yeah.
Yep.
Almost did.
It almost did. Yeah, they wrecked a couple of them.
So are you still, you guys still acquire a new aircraft all the time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've probably got some F-14s in there now. And
You're talking about the museum itself?
Yeah.
Oh, they're always. They've got a master plan that goes out to 2050, and so they've got at least four more built now, probably more than that. They've got a bunch of buildings planned, and they've already got ideas of what they're going to put on them.
Okay.
So,
where are you guys here at Oshkosh?
We are in the Federal Pavilion in Hangar D.
Okay.
So everybody should come see us. We got really great exhibits. All of the federal partners have a lot of good information for everybody to see. So.
All right. Great.
I just want to go up there and just hug the Valkyrie. I really
know. He wants to get in it and go, shh.
Yeah.
Well, we got three different versions of the SR-71, too, which is that's my favorite.
Yeah, so. That is cool.
Yeah.
All right. The thing that amazed me is I didn't know they had an unmanned drone.
Yes.
Based on SR-71 back then.
Yeah.
I've only seen one.
All kinds of neat stuff.
I forget what the heck it was called, but I have seen it there.
Yeah, it was called FAST.
Yeah, well,
really fast.
The crazy thing is, in the olden day, well, anyway,
yes.
We got a break.
This is Digital Dave.
And I'm Fast Eddie.